This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
California allows reopenings. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Tuesday, May 5. Thanks for joining us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Some retailers, like closing stores and flower shops, can start serving customers again in California on Friday if certain restrictions are met.
Data from Johns Hopkins University show the worldwide death toll from the pandemic has surpassed 250,000, with 69,000 in the U.S.
Three people have been charged with the murder of a security guard in Michigan after he refused to let customers in a store without a mask.
And how the pandemic fears have forced small doctor's offices to scramble to stay afloat.
While hospitals are busier than ever in many places, the small doctor's office, so independently owned family practices, has suffered a pretty steep decline in patient appointments. Many patients are afraid to leave their house, let alone go to a medical facility. So as a result, with patient volume falling, so too is the money coming in the door.
Sarah Krause at the Wall Street Journal on what government restrictions have meant for independently owned doctor's offices. Some retail businesses can begin to reopen in California by this Friday with modifications. Governor Gavin Newsom says state officials will issue further guidance Thursday on the state's next phase of reopening. He said stores that sell things like clothing, books, music, toys, and sporting goods, as well as florists, would be allowed to offer curbside pickup services, and manufacturers that support the retail industry would also be allowed to begin production.
This is a very positive sign, and it's happened only for one reason. The data says it can happen.
His office later tweeted that the order does not include office spaces, restaurants, and shopping malls. Rural parts of the state that meet restrictions would be allowed to go even further with their reopenings. Phase three of the state's reopening plan includes businesses such as hair salons and movie theaters, although the state is not at that phase yet. Meanwhile, there's some movement in the opposite direction at the local level. San Francisco's mayor has extended a stay-at-home order through May. A psychological milestone for the coronavirus pandemic. More than a quarter million people around the world have now died from it. Of those 251,000 deaths, about 69,000 have been in the U.S. Meanwhile, governors across the U.S. have reopened business or laid out plans to do so with different approaches. Missouri businesses are reopening with restrictions in place. Restaurants and salons in Nebraska are welcoming customers, and manufacturers in Ohio can resume operations. In New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo detailed reopening thresholds, including for new hospitalizations, available hospital beds, and contact tracers.
Reopen on a regional basis. If upstate has to wait for downstate to be ready, they're going to be waiting a long time.
He said construction and manufacturing would resume first. In Florida, restaurants and stores in most parts of the state could reopen at 25% of their indoor capacity as of yesterday, while schools, bars, gyms, and salons remain closed. Where are we on reopenings in New York City and the next phase of aid and/or bailouts from Washington? We're joined now by Congressman Gregory Meeks, who represents the New York City borough of Queens. Congressman, what's your district on reopening?
Well, no, we're not ready to reopen yet. In our district, what we're doing is testing, testing, testing. We're trying to get as many facilities open to get individuals tested so that we can test and then trace, isolate, and treat. I think that that's the best way that we can get ourselves reopened. Folks are still concerned, though, you know, it seems as though the number of individuals that are being hospitalized is going down, but we still got folks that are being hospitalized. We're not ready to reopen, but folks, for New York, I think to see individuals staying home wearing their masks is a good thing to do. And so we're getting closer, and we'll keep looking at the data.
you know, lots of mom and pop shop owners, right, in your district in Queens. You hearing from them that they want to get back?
Well, I'm hearing from, you know, what I'm hearing mostly is that they want to make sure that we pass this pandemic. The last thing that they want to do is to get back and then get sick and then got to shut down again. So we've got to figure out how we, you know, they want to be safe. I think that what I'm hearing from them is those that are applying for the PPP money, especially in those that are receiving it, they would like to see us extend the program to more than just the 8 weeks that was initially allowed, because if the mandatory closing continues, the 8 weeks will have gone by and it's going to take longer for them to get up and running again. So I'm hoping and looking, as we look into the CARES 2 package, that we are able to adjust the program so that we can take care of some of our mom and pops who are compelled to be closed because of the pandemic.
When we talk, or when folks like yourself talk about widespread testing, what exactly does that mean? Like, I think of, does that mean a store is going to check customers who are coming in, for example, or the store owner wants to check employees first? Does that mean both? Like, what does that mean in your mind?
I think that that may be a combination of both. I think that right while we're not open, it is trying to get as many people tested as possible. I, for one, in my district have, you know, I had a community group where we raised some money ourselves to have individuals come through a drive-through testing. Then I've had another group that come in to go to public housing, to go door by door just about to test folks in there, to test folks there. Worked with the governor and the mayor of the city of New York to open more testing sites in Queens so that individuals can go and have a test done. That way, you know, you got to find out who is tested negative, but most importantly also who may have tested positive, so that we know that they're not walking around carrying and infecting others. And once they've tested positive, we can know that they can isolate themselves, and we can trace any other areas that they may have been, so that we can try to find out those individuals and isolate them. I think that's what we have to do to get this, to get our numbers where we can be pretty sure that folks can move around again and being safe without the virus being transferred to others.
I mean, do you see raising taxes as an option here to cover what's been spent?
Well, I think that as we move along, you know, we'll look at what where we are and you know, raising dollars and whatever we have to do, all options that have to be at the table. We've got to make sure, though, that we're not hurting people because, you know, when I think about, for example, many folks, even in the middle class, et cetera, they're suffering economically also. So to raise their taxes at this particular time may be a difficult thing to do.
Thanks, Congressman. New York City Congressman Gregory Meeks, who represents the borough of Queens. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
We're all in uncharted territory, looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. After more than a month at home, members of the U.S. Senate are back at work in Washington. They're already in a battle over a potential next phase of coronavirus aid. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and Minority Leader Chuck Schumer both agree that a fourth piece of legislation is needed to address the health and economic crises, but there's little common ground beyond that. Meanwhile, Mr. McConnell officially opened the floor of the Senate yesterday.
I'm grateful that all 100 of us have come through the last several weeks safely and in good health. Now let's work together across the aisle and get some more work done.
With regards to pandemic-related legislation, Mr. McConnell has emphasized the need for a targeted response which addresses holes and shortcomings in previous coronavirus legislation. He's also demanding that the next bill include liability protections for healthcare workers and businesses. But so far, Democrats have signaled that these protections are a non-starter. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said last week she would not be inclined to support liability protections. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The deadly coronavirus death toll in the U.S. could reach 3,000 people a day by June, according to an internal Trump administration report obtained by the New York Times. That's about a 70% increase from the current figure. The data also forecast about 200,000 new cases each day by the end of the month, up from about 25,000 now. Deaths in the U.S. are approaching 69,000.
Number two.
With more local governments moving ahead with their own plans for reopening, California Governor Gavin Newsom has announced his state will begin gradually allowing some shops to open after nearly 7 weeks.
To begin to reopen for pickup, clothing, bookstores, music, toys, sporting goods stores, florists with Mother's Day coming up.
And the announcement comes days after a string of demonstrations, including on the Capitol grounds, where some 1,000 protesters gathered and over 30 were arrested.
Number three.
More than $8 billion has been pledged to help develop a coronavirus vaccine and fund research into the diagnosis and treatment of the disease. 40 countries and donors took part in an online summit yesterday hosted by the European Union. Of the money raised, $4.4 billion will go to vaccine development, $2 billion to the search for treatment, and $1.6 billion for producing tests. The U.S. and Russia did not take part. Senator Mitt Romney of Utah has released a plan for giving essential workers a temporary pay raise. Romney is the first Senate Republican to formally propose a hazard pay plan after Democrats introduced their own version last month. Under Romney's plan, essential workers making less than $50,000 a year would receive a bonus of up to $12 an hour during May, June, and July. Three-quarters of that raise would be paid by a refundable payroll tax credit from the federal government, and employers would cover the rest. And Don Shula, who turned the Miami Dolphins into a power and became the winningest coach in NFL history, has died at the age of 90. The Hall of Fame coach won 328 regular season games in charge of the Baltimore Colts and then the Dolphins. Former Dolphins star Larry Zonka spoke with ESPN.
Whether we win or not doesn't matter. We've got to do it within the rules, but we've got to attain perfection. We've got to attack it every week like it's the last game of the year.
In 1972, Shula's Dolphins became the first and only NFL team to go undefeated in the regular season and playoffs.
Wonder what he would be like today if he were coaching. A guy who sought the limelight, right?
And
never
a players coach. And people loved him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. We'll run through walls for this guy. Thanks, Jen. Hey, thanks for joining us. The coronavirus pandemic is prompting small medical practices to cut staff, embrace telehealth, and defer bill payments to stay in business. Doctors at independent practices are having to rethink how they see patients, seek emergency financing, and source scarce protective equipment. It's a story by Sarah Krause, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Sarah, what are you hearing?
While hospitals are busier than ever in many places, the small doctor's office, so independently owned family practices, have suffered a pretty steep decline in patient appointments. Many patients are afraid to leave their house, let alone go to a medical facility. So as a result, with patient volume falling, so too is the money coming in the door.
All right. So you talked about this guy, this doctor in Malta, New York, upstate, I believe. What's his situation? What's he doing? What's he going through?
So appointment volume there is down significantly, but to deal with COVID patients specifically, he's built a tent outside of his office. So he sort of divides his time between treating anyone with respiratory problems in the tent that he's erected in his practice's yard, and also trying to call patients who have canceled appointments and, you know, asking them to reconsider or seeing patients virtually where that's possible using telemedicine.
Wow. So what about getting paid under these circumstances, especially with telemedicine? Are the fees different?
So for most telemedicine appointments, the reimbursement is somewhat comparable. It's not. It's way below an in-office visit for a phone call versus a video call. But the economics of all of this are sort of in flux, which is part of the challenge for these smaller practitioners in adapting to this large behavioral change quickly.
All right. I would imagine telemedicine can solve some issues, but not others. I think, as you point out in the story, like bronchitis, for example.
Correct. And some of these doctors, Dr. Price in Malta included, said, you know, I don't feel comfortable diagnosing things like bronchitis without being able to, you know, listen and touch and talk to someone in person. But for regular sort of check-ins or non-urgent ailments, then telemedicine is appropriate in their view.
Are we seeing scenarios where some of these doctors' offices are going out of business?
We're starting to see financial strain from this. So a number of doctors' offices have furloughed employees or had to do layoffs. They've put off mortgage payments and other bills. They've tried to really control the expenses. You know, and in some cases, offices have moved entirely to telemedicine so that they don't have the overhead cost or risk of operating an office. You know, the challenge in this, though, is if you have a chronic condition, you know, some of those patients are afraid to come to the doctor. But if you delay the treatment of those ailments or even the management of them, you could find yourself in a position where you're very sick and at higher risk of contracting the coronavirus.
Sarah Krause, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Even in tough times, you want to try to look your best, even if it's just from the waist up for those video chats. So when it comes to your facial hair, Harry's has you covered, bringing you incredibly high-quality blades at factory direct prices, just $2 per blade. Now, when it comes to my facial hair, I'm typically a goatee guy, but lately I've been using these times of home quarantine to experiment with a full beard. This has allowed the precision trimmer blade on my Harry's razor to take center stage. I use it to make sure my new beard is looking its best. Now you can keep your face looking smooth too, or your beard looking clean, with a Harry's trial set delivered right to your doorstep. Just go to harrys.com/gordon to order yours. And get this, to help support those who need it the most right now, Harry's is donating $1 million worth of shaving supplies to hospitals across the U.S. so you can feel good about looking good. Listeners of our show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/gordon. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. Go to harrys.com/gordon to start shaving better today.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday, May 5. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Some retailers in California can reopen with restrictions this Friday. Fishing, hunting, and golf can resume today in Washington State. The Secretary of the Senate says it doesn't have the discretion to release any records of a sex assault campaign complaint against Joe Biden. Carnival Cruise Line plans to sail from select ports beginning August 1st. Rates are cheap. Taco Bell, Chipotle, and On the Border among those offering Cinco de Mayo promotions today. And a Texas restaurant gets a huge tip at its reopening. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. One of the many side effects of stay-at-home orders under the coronavirus pandemic is a catastrophic decline in state and local transportation funding, which officials say threatens to bring road and bridge construction to a screeching halt for the next year and a half. Collections of gas taxes and tolls that fuel construction have plummeted as motorists stay home. Despite historically low interest rates, voters and their governments are leery of borrowing because of uncertainty about repaying the debt. It's a story by Bart Jansen, transportation reporter at USA Today. Bart, what's going on?
We just had a sense that, you know, with more people staying indoors, they're not traveling as much. And so if you're not driving, you're not going to be buying gas, you're not paying the gas tax, maybe you're not buying a new car, so you're not paying car registration fees, and all that has bundled up to a whole lot of money to the state and local governments. The state transportation officials estimate that driving might be off 30 to 50% just since mid-March, and that if things continue over the next 18 months, they could need $50 billion is what they're asking the federal government for. In addition, you know, people driving less, maybe you're not going over as many toll roads or toll facilities, toll bridges. So the toll folks are saying that they, with losses of 50 to 90% of toll traffic over the last month and a half, that they need maybe $9 billion in help over the next year.
Boy, I think it's safe to say, right, and maybe an understatement, we were already behind as a nation when it comes to infrastructure like roads and bridges, tunnels.
That's right. The American Society of Civil Engineers has steadily given the U.S. Bad grades for how often we repair roads and bridges. You know, we barely keep pace with the potholes, much less doing the real refurbishments that we're supposed to get. But this is going to postpone things more.
All right, so what happens now?
Well, so immediately what states have started to do is just tap the brakes and stop doing as many construction projects. In Missouri, start with North Carolina, they've postponed 100 projects valued at $2.2 billion just this year, just to start. And, you know, among those is a widening project for I-95. And any of your listeners who have driven up and down the East Coast know that North Carolina, South Carolina need some more lanes on I-95. And another lesson from this is that when you're doing those federal projects, the states get matched their money 4-1. So in Missouri, for example, they've canceled 5 projects in May worth $40 million. That doesn't sound like much, but they're ballparking. They could be down $530 million over the next year and a half. And if they had gotten that's the amount that they would get matched by the feds. So the feds would have stepped in and given them $2.1 billion to do all those road projects around their state. So they're looking at $2.6 billion in losses, you know, a fifth of it from their own, and then four-fifths from the feds because they won't match.
Mm. We're speaking with Bart Jansen, transportation reporter at USA Today. He's written a piece entitled, "Coronavirus is cutting local transportation funding, putting major road and bridge projects on hold." Could this be somewhat helped, Bart, if Congress were to do another one of these stimulus packages, right? Then I think the number being floated right now is around $2 trillion. Could it be used for something like that? Would that be helpful?
Well, that's what the state highway officials and the nationwide toll facility officials are hoping for. They've written letters to congressional leaders to say, hey, in the next package, we'd like to get these figures, somewhere in the neighborhood of $50 billion between them. And $50 billion, with the numbers, that used to be a big number.
Yeah.
But with the numbers we've been talking about lately, you know, it's way less than the small business loans. It's way less than just handing somebody $1,200, you know, to try to make up for lost paychecks. And so, you know, they're going to angle for this in the next stimulus bill, relief bill, and the Senate has returned to start debating what will be the next relief bill. But there are some political considerations because House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, a California Democrat, and President Trump both like the idea of spending on infrastructure. You know, you get something for it. You get to see the bridge or the road that's built for it. So it's not just handing out $1,200 checks. So they say, okay, let's do infrastructure. But conservatives, including Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, they say, well, if everybody's hurting, we can't really just have the feds bail out everybody. Mm. You know, if all states are hurting in the highway funds, well, all right, step up, raise your own gas tax, raise your own funds somehow. Now, this is all after the economy starts to open up. There's still nobody on the road. But the conservatives are saying maybe the feds don't bail out mere state losses, that states ought to buckle down and take care of themselves. So it's going to be a bit of a political dispute.
Thanks, Bart. Bart Jansen, transportation reporter at USA Today. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday. It's time now for the mic drop with This Morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, you often hear that there's no such thing as a stupid question. We're going to put that theory to the test right now. Today is Cinco de Mayo, a holiday not all Americans know a whole lot about. So, like the rest of the world, they turn to Google for answers. CNN compiled a list of some actual questions people have Googled about the holiday. For example, when is Cinco de Mayo? Also, what is Cinco de Mayo in Spanish? The answer, of course, is Cinco de Mayo. When is Cinco de Mayo celebrated in Mexico? The answer is still Cinco de Mayo, as is the answer to when is Cinco de Mayo in Portland, Oregon. Others asked, when was the Cinco de Mayo War? Now, there was no Cinco de Mayo War, but the holiday does celebrate Mexico's victory over France in the Battle of Puebla on May 5th, 1862. Is Cinco de Mayo the Day of the Dead? The answer is no. That comes around Halloween time. And last but not least, is Cinco de Mayo about mayonnaise? At which point, it's probably time to just give up.
Wow, that's Cinco de Mayo, I guess, somebody would type phonetically.
I mean, I'd be up for a holiday about Mayo, but it's not this holiday. But let's just make that a separate day other than May 5th.
Wow, I didn't realize Cinco de Mayo was that tricky. Because most of us, I think, at some point in school had Spanish basics.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
I
you would learn to count to 10 and the months of the year, which would include Cinco and Mayo.
Right. Oh, so you're talking about the actual day, figuring that part of it out.
Yes.
No, I understand. Yeah, that one shouldn't be something we're Googling quite so much at this point in our history.
Do we also Google who's buried in Grant's tomb? Is that another one of those?
I bet you
we probably do.
And we know, Gordon, that the animals have gotten more brazen during the pandemic, and now there's even one being accused of foul play at a bank. Walker, Louisiana police are searching for an aggressive chicken after a complaint about the animal on Friday. Witnesses told police the chicken had been spotted at the bank multiple times last week, approaching patrons at the ATM, chasing customers, and even attempting to climb into cars in the drive-thru.
Jeez.
That's according to the department's Facebook post. Officials said officers responded to the bank within a few minutes of the call, but found the pesky poultry had already escaped. The suspect remains on the loose, and police advised residents to avoid confronting the animal and instead call for help. I think that's pretty good advice, considering that it's jumping into people's cars.
Yeah.
This is obviously a chicken on a mission, so you don't want to go messing with this particular chicken.
If you were at a traditional drive-in or drive-through, drive-up, bank teller, you'd want to take your cash through the window just by opening the tiniest of slots.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure why he's harassing the customers, what he plans to do with this cash, if he does get any, but we need to stay clear.
Chickens need cash, too. Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Let me tell you about my new favorite way to pass the time while commuting. It's the app called Blinkist. Blinkist works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and whittles it down to just 15 minutes. Successful people like business leaders are well known for reading self-improvement books. I just finished listening to Snowball, a Warren Buffett biography. Listen to Blinkist while commuting or maybe exercising, even while you're waiting for your kids to finish practice. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read. I also like listening to some of the history titles since I never had much good history in school. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial. You'll also save 25%, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/morning. Thanks for spending time with us on this Tuesday. As you know, we're encouraged to wear cloth face coverings to prevent the spread of COVID-19. While surgical masks and N95 respirators should be saved for healthcare workers, the idea is that a simple cloth covering could prevent asymptomatic people from spreading the disease in situations where it's hard to maintain social distance. So what do you do about cleaning them? Currently, there are no strict guidelines about washing and sanitizing cloth face coverings and masks. According to the CDC, machine washing your mask is enough to disinfect your cloth face covering. Dr. William Schaffner, medical director of the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases, told NBC's Today show that you should wash it after each time you wear it, and it's okay to rewear it if it's not dirty. CNBC.com says any clothing you wear has the potential to be contaminated, but experts don't believe you need to be washing or changing your clothes multiple times a day. The same is true for cloth masks and face coverings. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A newly revised coronavirus mortality model predicts nearly 135,000 Americans will die from COVID-19 by early August, almost double previous projections. as physical distancing measures for quelling the pandemic are increasingly relaxed. The ominous new forecast from the University of Washington reflects rising mobility in most U.S. states, with an easing of business closures and stay-at-home orders expected in 31 states by May 11th.
Number two.
The reopening of the economy and loosening of restrictions remain uneven and varied. Texas, Oklahoma, and Montana are among states allowing restaurants to reopen, while other states, including epicenter New York, are moving more slowly. Governor Andrew Cuomo.
Reopening is more difficult than the close down. The close down was relatively simple, right? You go into the basement, you throw the big power switch, and everything just goes down.
Number three.
California has become the first state to borrow money from the federal government so it can continue paying out rising claims for unemployment benefits. The state borrowed $348 million in federal funds. A woman, her adult son, and husband have been charged in the fatal shooting of a security guard who refused to let her daughter enter a Family Dollar in Michigan because she wasn't wearing a face mask. Calvin Munnerlin was shot Friday at the store just north of downtown Flint, Governor Gretchen Whitmer.
It is incredibly sad that in this crisis that this life was lost.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, the scientific face of the country's pandemic response, is dismissing the theory that coronavirus originated in a lab in Wuhan, contradicting the president and his secretary of state in an escalating confrontation with China. In an interview with National Geographic, Fauci says the best evidence shows the virus was not made in a lab in China. He says everything about the evolution over time strongly indicates that the virus evolved in nature and then jumped species. Well, TikTok is having a moment. In the past few months, hundreds of millions of people around the world have downloaded the short-form video app as it provides a fun escape from all the grim news about the coronavirus. TikTok is pushing upbeat hashtags such as Happy at Home, which has seen many users rope their parents into doing TikTok videos. The app now has 2 billion downloads overall, doubling its total from just 15 months ago.
I think I've been in a couple of those inadvertently.
Inadvertently?
Yeah, yeah.
Your family's got you in there?
My daughter does them endlessly and does, you know, like mashups with other dancers. Oy, oy, oy. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour.
We're all in uncharted territory, looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. A restaurant in Austin, Texas, was treated to a generous surprise after reopening its doors to customers on Friday. The Frog and Bull had been promoting its reopening on its Facebook page, including videos showing the staff setting up the dining room and pictures of its newest wine additions. Fox News says one customer showed his support for the Tapas Bar and Steakhouse, which had originally opened in October of 2019, with an incredibly generous offer on the big reopening day. WDSU Television says the man and his family had ordered $337 worth of food. When the server came out with a tab, the customer told him to charge him double for everything. With the help of the owner, the server double-charged the bill, then delivered it to the customer. Then the customer added a $300 tip and $1,000, as he said, for the house, bringing his total to $2,029. The money will reportedly be used to help the restaurant pay bills. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.